Greetings once again, America. My name is Doug McBurney, and you may have heard the news. But stand by now for the Worldview. That's right, it is the Weekly Worldview, and I am your host, Doug McBurney. Welcome back to the show where we don't take calls, we don't tolerate sponsors, but we do focus on the events of the week through the lens of original thought, and it is so good to be back. We've been out and about all over the western United States, as a matter of fact. We went out to California. We found out it's not open for business. You may not want to go. Rough times out there in California, but I can tell you this, we're glad to be back here ensconced at the McBurney compound. So my extremely attractive audio engineer, playing a little fast and loose with the bumpers today. Well, you can just do whatever you want. We'll do an all-music version. Yes, we're flying high. Feeling good. Very glad to be back. Very glad. Thank you, Steven and the boys. Put away those guitars. We got to get back. Yeah, we were out in California. We rented a little condo out there. Had no cable television. No cable television for 9 days for the McBurney clan. And it was all right. It was just fine. But we got back, of course, fell right back into our old habit, popped on the cable TV, came across Color Splash. Have you seen this show? Have you seen this show, Color Splash, on HGTV? If you've ever wondered why I think HGTV stands for Homo and Gay TV, watch Color Splash. Literally, I'm flipping through on the channel changer there, and it hops onto HGTV, and all I hear is, "Stop the presses!" And it's this flamboyant guy on Color Splash who's become more and more flamboyant. Wouldn't you agree?
Yes.
He's becoming more and more flamboyant as time passes. So anyway, that was our welcome back to cable television. But what's happened since we've gone? A lot has happened since we went on hiatus. Gaddafi's been thrown out of Tripoli, from what we understand. Is it wrong to root for Gaddafi to come back? Is that... That's wrong, isn't it? Okay, I've been rooting against Gaddafi for 30 years, but this week, after all the liberal news media, talking heads, and Barry Ho himself from the golf course out at Martha's Vineyard declared him dead, gone, or out of power, I couldn't help. There was this little part of me that wanted him to come back for one more. But Muammar, it's been nice. Well, it hasn't been nice. Farewell and good riddance. What else happened? Oh, the storm of the century, apparently... Hurricane Irene, if you listen to Piers Morgan on CNN, which I know none of you do, but I scan across him once in a while. Hurricane Irene failed to give the government their big opportunity to put a few million more people on welfare, although I'm sure they'll get their fair share out of the Hurricane Irene aftermath, but we won't have generational welfare cases begun like we did down in New Orleans circa 2005 with a hurricane. What was that hurricane called? The big Katrina. One down. Katrina. Hurricane Katrina. Pierce Morgan. How does that guy have a show? And I'm sitting here in my basement for crying out loud. It just goes to show you, ladies and gentlemen, that life is not fair. Oh, and I've made the transition from the Dodge Charger to the Toyota Sequoia. Yeah, got rid of a Charger with 85,000 miles on it and picked up a Sequoia with 125,000 miles. Now, 125,000 miles in Toyota miles, that's like 45,000 in Dodge miles. So I think I came out ahead of that, but I'll keep you posted on that. Boy, that Sequoia is a beast. That's our tank for the apocalypse. No matter what goes wrong, I've got a little Toyota Tacoma pickup in the garage. If society breaks down, I've seen the Libyan video. I can put a machine gun in the back of that thing. And then we've got the Sequoia now throw a little bulletproof glass on that, and you're cruising through the apocalypse in style. Anyway, that'll all be fun. But that was there any other big stories that I missed while we were gone? No, I had to get some stitches right in the middle of my face. I had an unfortunate incident with the bottom of a pool. I was trying to impress a girl, and that always gets you in trouble. Well, it was Nicole, my 10-year-old daughter, our 10-year-old daughter. Okay. My extremely attractive audio engineer wanted to make sure. Anyway, it was a bloody mess for crying out loud. But I don't think I broke the nose. I think I just severely, there was an avulsion, if you're familiar. So it was a little scary. I wasn't going to go get stitches, but my extremely attractive audio engineer encouraged me. And I got to tell you, the doctor who took care of me, one of the best fellas I ever met in my life. Really good guy. I'm going to take pictures, and I'm going to follow up with him and send him a note, maybe some chocolates. Yeah. Okay, so, but I'm healing up well, healing up nicely here, and ready to go with the show. I want to start in space. That's right, I want to start in space because I've been listening for a couple of months now as all the conservative talk show hosts, at least the ones I listen to, have been whining and complaining about Barack Obama destroying NASA. You've heard the talk because Barack just presided over the discontinuing of the shuttle program, which was set to go into sunset, I don't know, probably sometime back in the first Bush administration, for crying out loud. But all the conservatives got their mileage out of dogging out Barry Ho for destroying NASA. Well, listen to this. Out of Hawthorne, California, from the Associated Press, the Hawthorne-based private rocket maker SpaceX last week... they said last week that their Dragon capsule will launch on November 30th on a cargo test run to the International Space Station. Yeah, a private rocket company taking over where the inept, bumbling, bloated bureaucracy of NASA left off. The AP goes on to tell us, with the space shuttle fleet retired, NASA is depending on private companies like SpaceX to handle space station supply runs and astronaut rides. Until then, the space agency is paying for trips aboard the Russian Soyuz spacecraft. And that's had all the Rush clones and all the other allegedly conservative talk show hosts all in a bind because we're having to hitch a ride with the Russians. But frankly, NASA and the shuttle program had to die in order for private enterprise to flourish. And I wish the folks at SpaceX all the best in limiting our need to ride on those Russian rockets. For crying out loud, I would not sit on top of a Russian rocket. I mean, are you kidding me? I would get on SpaceX's prototype rocket before I would sit on a Russian rocket. But thank you, SpaceX. And so all you alleged conservatives, quit whining about a bloated government bureaucracy that's been put to rest, okay? Just shut up. All right, now, let's move into more serious news from the war file. Iranian President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad has reared his ugly head once again. He said in an interview with a Lebanese television network, he said, quote, "Iran believes that whoever is for humanity should also be for eradicating the Zionist regime, Israel, as a symbol of oppression." Oh, he says suppression and discrimination. He says Iran follows this issue, the eradication of Israel, with determination and decisiveness and will never withdraw from this standpoint and policy. No surprise there, right? Well, according to Haaretz, where we got this news report, the remarks by Ahmadinejad came one day before the annual anti-Israeli rallies named Quds Day. That's what they call Jerusalem. They call it Al-Quds. Jerusalem rolls nicely off the tongue. Al-Quds sounds like you got something stuck in your throat or some other bodily orifice, for crying out loud. Al-Quds. Anyway, they have a day where they all get together in sackcloth and ash and they whine about the fact that the Jews are allowed to live in Jerusalem or anywhere else for that matter. And Ahmadinejad was directing his remarks toward the Arab street, so to speak, there on Al-Quds Day. These Al-Quds Day whining sessions are held nationwide in Iran on the last Friday of the fasting month of Ramadan, which I have complete and total respect for. Ramadan-a-ding-dong. Am I ripping that off from someone else? I probably am, and I apologize that I'm not giving credit, but hey, you're out there in the public domain. I'm going to probably steal your material. I do try to give credit where credit is due, but I can't remember. The Iranian president, according to Haaretz, the Iranian president provoked international condemnation back in 05 when he said Israel should be eliminated from the map. We all remember that. That was the day he should have been targeted for assassination, in my humble opinion, by either the United States government, the Israeli government, or frankly, any other government that has the wherewithal to get it done. In fact, it's my opinion that the cancer of radical Islam should have been eradicated shortly after 1979, whether they let our hostages go or not. But the Western powers seem to have lost some moral authority and the ability to put together a plan to take out evil. And I think it's because we've become so evil. Yeah, I think it's been. Speaking of evil, listen to what's going on at the UN next month. The UN, popularly known as the United Nations or the UN. We just call it the UN here because it's so unbecoming of a civilization to have put together an organization like the UN. Dateline New York, when the annual United Nations General Assembly convenes in New York September 21st, a number of high-level political protagonists are expected to take center stage. This is from WorldNet Daily, a source that you should have bookmarked on your Firefox. UN sources confirmed to WorldNet Daily that President Barack Barry-ho Obama will be joined by Iranian President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, Afghan President, dead man walking, Hamid Karzai, Russian President Dmitry Medvedev, and French President Nicolas Sarkozy. And, for good measure, British Prime Minister David Cameron, whoever he is, he will be there as well. Palestinian leader Mahmoud Abbas also intends to travel to New York City to meet with Ahmadinejad, who will assist Abbas in pushing the General Assembly to recognize Palestinian statehood. That's the big one. That's the big one that's coming in September. It's going to be an interesting autumn as we go forward here. According to WND, the Palestinian campaign has become so controversial that Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has decided to make a rare General Assembly appearance himself. Can you imagine? Benjamin Netanyahu and Mahmoud Ahmadinejad in the same room at the same time? We'll have to see if Mahmoud keeps his word about killing Jews. Let's see if he's got the guts to do something to confront Mr. Netanyahu. Who do you think would win straight up in a fist fight? I would go with Bibi myself. And of course, if I was watching, I would do everything I could to somehow trip up Mr. Mahmoud Ahmadinejad. So that Mr. Netanyahu could get a boot on his neck. Do we have any more? Ahmadinejad sees the ongoing phase down. Oh, this is big, too. Ahmadinejad sees the ongoing phase down of the American military in Iraq and Afghanistan as an opportunity for Tehran to replace Washington as the preeminent power in the Middle East. My prediction is, unless we change course dramatically, that is exactly what will happen. The blood and treasure of America will make Iran the preeminent power in the region. And so what was that all about, for crying out loud? At about the same time that Ahmadinejad arrives in New York, Tehran is expected to bring online one of the world's largest nuclear power stations, the Russian-built, 10-year delayed nuclear power plant at Bashir. The only thing we got going for us, folks, is that the Russians built that thing. It could implode into just a giant melting carcass and burn for 500,000 years. but they might make a few bombs first, so we need to keep our eye on that. Protests over the Ahmadinejad visit to New York City have already erupted, with several organizations engaged in a campaign to pressure Manhattan hotels to refuse housing to the madmen from Iran. Well, as long as you're running a campaign to keep him out of the hotels, how about planning his assassination while he's right here in the United States? This seems like a golden opportunity to me. The Iranian visit, according to WND, will come as Manhattan observes the 10th anniversary of the 9/11 attacks. Can you believe this? Americans have become so tolerant. Many liberals are probably proud to be so diverse and tolerant that we can let the enemy march in our parade for September 11th. Aren't we so, so very civilized? All right, now, speaking of someone who's not ready for prime time. Thank you, young lady. And whoever that was on the guitar, that was pretty good. Speaking of someone who's not ready for prime time, we have a story from Joseph Biden, president, not president, oh boy. That's scary. Vice president at the moment of the United States of America. Vice President Biden apparently addressed the China one-child policy while answering a question about the U.S. budget deficit at a university in Chengdu, China, last Sunday, got himself into a bit of a kerfuffle. Biden appeared, according to this article from Fox News, Biden appeared to condone China's one-child policy. And what's surprising to me is that anyone's surprised about that. But apparently it's been the official government line to say that we do not support China's one child policy, and we do not support forced abortion or forced sterilization. That's been the lip service that the American government has given to this issue for the past 30 years. But I just have one question about China's one-child policy. From whom did China learn that they needed a one-child policy? Do you think it was part of ancient Chinese culture? Do you think? I have a feeling it had something to do with Margaret Sanger and the progressives and the abortion movement in the Western world in the 1960s that convinced the Chinese that they needed to butcher half a billion, mostly girls, in order to achieve global preeminence. I think they learned it from us, for crying out loud, from the likes of Joe Biden. Here's what Biden had to say. He said to his Chinese counterparts, "You have no safety net. Your policy has been one which I fully understand. I'm not second-guessing it. Your policy of one child per family. The result, though, is that you're in a position where one wage earner will be taking care of four retired people. Not sustainable," says Joe, unquote. Okay. So, as I've said in the past, when your entire career is built on lies, when you speak the truth about where your heart really is, it creates a problem, a political problem, for folks like Joe Biden. And for Joe more often than for others, admittedly. But this is what the Democratic Party and the leftists, the socialists, the progressives, the liberals, this is what they believe. They do support China's one-child policy. They're the ones who taught the Chinese how to do it. And now it's just coming out. Because Joe Biden has a tendency to speak from the heart every once in a while. Let's see. Is there anything more? Oh, Vice President Joe Biden's office has now dismissed criticism of his seeming support of China's one-child policy, saying last week that the vice president's recent remarks to a Chinese audience were meant to expose unintended pitfalls of the policy, not give approval to forced abortion. Of course, the pitfall that he outlined was not forced abortion or forced sterilization or the butchering of a half a billion children. The pitfall he had something to do with the social safety net. Do I want to read the official statement from Biden's spokeswoman, Kendra Barkoff? Kendra Barkoff is a spokesperson? You know, we're not going to read it because we just don't care because we know you're lying. Anyway, Joe Biden. All right, I've got to move on into the politics. I got a lot of stuff here, folks, and just to get through it all is going to be a challenge. So turn it up and listen, because I got a lot to say here. From Breitbart, President Obama apparently often cites billionaire Berkshire Hathaway chief Warren Buffett as an example of the well-off category of the American population who would not mind paying higher taxes to benefit the rest of the country. So Barry and Warren are apparently buddies. They hang out. Is that Is that for Barry? Is that Barry's new theme song? Oh, that's Barry's official theme song here at the Weekly Worldview. I was not aware of that. I've been made aware now. You just feel free to do whatever you want to do. I'm just here on the microphone to fill in spaces between very witty and ebullient musical selections from my extremely attractive audio engineer. What happened, though, to get back to the story, if I can do so, is that Barry apparently called Warren and had a telephone conversation with him right before Barry bought, I forget if it was $25 million or $25 billion worth of Bank of America stock. Millions, billions. I mean, who's counting anymore? But, of course, the conversation between Barry Ho and Warren Buffett had nothing to do with Buffett's purchase of however many millions or billions of shares or dollars worth of shares that Warren Buffett bought in Bank of America. You got to figure a fella as smart as Warren Buffett, there's got to be a political angle for him to buy into Bank of America, because Bank of America is just bound to be just a giant sucking vortex before too long. So Warren, I hope you save some money. I think he made $100 million on the deal he did. Can you imagine that? One phone call? That's not a bad gig. That's about all I got on that. We all know that the elite ruling class are all in bed together. And Barry's buying them off as fast as he can. And he's got Buffett in his pocket. And he's got the other leftists. Yeah, that guy from Apple and the guy from Microsoft and the guy from General Motors. I mean, it's almost as if we're living in the Soviet Union. We're almost there, folks. It's kind of depressing. I'm glad I've got my tank for the apocalypse. I'm looking for a tripod and a 50 cal machine gun if anybody can point me in the right direction. All right, from CNBC, the Obama administration is considering further actions to, quote, strengthen the housing market, unquote. You could also read that the Obama administration is considering further actions to destroy the last vestiges of the free market in America. That's right. One proposal would allow millions of homeowners with government-backed mortgages to refinance them today at today's lower interest rate. So the government wants to become your mortgage holder, although I think they are in most cases. I think every time you get a mortgage, it's immediately sold to Fannie Mae or Freddie Mae or Freddie Mac or Fannie Mae. One of those. And it goes into, I don't know what they do with it, but... We're all beholden to the government with our mortgages. The Barry Ho administration is also working on a home rental program. Get this, a home rental program that would try to shore up housing prices by preventing hundreds of thousands of foreclosed homes from flooding the market. Barry wants to be your landlord. Can you imagine that? The federal landlord? Forget about we're getting to be the Soviet Union. That is the Soviet Union. Federal officials, according to this CNBC article, have consistently overestimated the number of households that would be helped by their various housing assistance programs, but that doesn't stop them from coming up with new programs, because that's what bureaucrats do. Administration discussions about housing proposals have taken on added urgency this summer because the housing market is continuing to deteriorate. Really? It is? Gee, imagine that. I'm so glad we have CNBC around to bring us the big news. CNBC closes with, there is not much time to help the market before the 2012 election. And, of course, that's CNBC's main concern and MSNBC's main concern, CNN's main concern, the bureaucracy's main concern, Barry Ho's main concern, and Michelle Obama, his MO. That's her main concern, because she is enjoying those vacations and the ice cream and the high-calorie desserts that she tends to consume when she's out on the road in a different car, or a different plane from Barry, or if she's in the same car, she's got her iPod headphones in. I'm telling you, there's something going on there, folks. All is not wonderful in Camelot there, in the Barry Ho residential segment there of the White House. So, and we are following that story. We're the only ones who've ever mentioned that there might be trouble in paradise between Michelle and Barry. And hopefully they'll keep it together. I really hate to see another family destroyed because of the degeneration of our culture and a loss of ethics and values that cause marriage to be just really cheap and tossed aside so easily. Well, that's right. Barry and Michelle are responsible for that. So it would be kind of ironic if they ended up victims of it. But we still hope it doesn't happen for the sake of the girls that they're brainwashing and ruining, in my opinion. All right, now let's move on to the justice file because I've just about had it. From Tallahassee, Florida, I need some good news. Prison officials have rescheduled the execution of Manuel Valle for September 6th of this year, 2011. The 61-year-old death row inmate was convicted of killing Coral Gables police officer Luis Pena during a traffic stop 33 years ago.
Oh, my gosh.
33 years ago. Why has it been rescheduled? Well, they were going to kill this scumbag back on August 2nd, but, you know, the drug scam that's being pulled by a cadre of leftist lawyers and judges, and they've dragged out this unconscionable delay because one of the drugs doesn't quite meet the standards, or it was purchased improperly, or the purchase order number wasn't included on the invoice, so stop the execution. Anyway, Florida uses a three-drug cocktail, according to this AP story. One of those formerly used had to be replaced because it is no longer available. And this scam's been going on. We've been covering this. Hopefully they'll get this done before another 33 years elapses. And they will execute Manuel Valle on September 6th. We will keep you posted. Now, more into the justice file. That's the only... that's not even good news. That's just hopeful news from the justice file. We've got bad news and worse news from the justice file from San Diego, California. The man accused in the Arizona shooting rampage kept himself awake for 50 hours straight after an appeals court stopped forced medication. He walked in circles until he developed sores and then declined antibiotics to treat an infected foot. He's already thin. He had stopped eating and had lost 9 pounds. A U.S. district judge decided to resume forced medication on July 18th, this is Jared Lee Loeffner, who killed all those people down in Tucson. And here's what he's going through. A psychologist who's treating him at the prison testified that Loeffner is less psychotic than in the past, but he is still psychotic. She's now concerned about depression. She says he feels as though he has no control about what's going on around him. He sobs uncontrollably at times and steps aside during their meetings to cover his face. This guy doesn't need forced medication. This guy does not need incarceration. What he needs is a preacher and a date with the firing squad very soon. He needs, I'd say, 3 days max. Yes, we should have a trial. It should last approximately an hour and a half. We could show the video of him shooting all those people, and then we could have 30 or 40 of the people who watched him shoot all those people. We could have them testify, maybe 3 hours. At which time, we give him a preacher, we give him a date, and Jared might snap out of his depression. It's just disgusting. Disgusting that he's still breathing the same air as the people who survived his rampage. Now, more from the justice file. It's from Dallas, Texas. Dallas, Texas, by the way, Texas is the next great white hope for conservatives. We're all hoping, many of us, that Texas may be a place to flee. There may be some semblance of normalcy left there. But this story, it should shake to the foundations anyone's perception that Texas is any better off than the rest of the country as far as cultural, moral, and religious decline. Dateline Dallas, a father and a stepmother of twin boys were arrested last Wednesday and charged with injury to a child after police said they denied one of the 10-year-old boys, Jonathan James, they denied him water over a period of 5 days as punishment. He died on July 25th. Now, did you catch that? These parents have been charged with injury to a child. The child died on July 25th after being denied water by these two parents for 5 days. Police said Jonathan died because of dehydration. His brother Joseph, his twin brother Joseph, knew what was happening, and he wanted to help, but he was afraid that he would be punished as well. Brother Joseph apparently watched Jonathan collapse and continues to relive the moment he lost his twin brother. If convicted, the parents who killed their 10-year-old child could face up to 99 years in prison. That's the state of justice in our last great hope, the state of Texas. And now, the justice outrage of the week, possibly of the century, from the Huffington Post. After serving 17 years behind bars for the brutal murder of three children in eastern Arkansas, Damien Echols, Jesse Miskelly Jr., and Jason Baldwin, dubbed the West Memphis Three, have been released from prison. All three men had been in prison since 1994 when they were convicted of killing 3 8-year-old boys, Stevie Branch, Michael Moore, and Christopher Byers. Prosecutors allege the trio killed the children on the morning of May 6, 1993, as part of a satanic ritual. The boys' bodies were mutilated and left in a ditch. Each had been hogtied with his own shoelaces. At the time of their arrests, Baldwin was 16, Miskelly was 17, and Echols was 18. Echols was sentenced to death. Convicted and sentenced to death. Molesky, convicted and sentenced to life plus 40 years. Baldwin was sentenced to life. DNA testing was not available at the time of the defendant's trial. But in 2007, it was found that some DNA collected at the crime scene did not match that belonging to any of the three men. And so they've been released from prison. So just because the DNA found at the crime scene didn't match these satanic murderers does not necessarily mean that they are innocent. As a matter of fact, they did not even plead innocent. They pled guilty and were released from prison. Listen to this. Experts believe both sides have entered into a complex legal agreement in which the three men have entered into so-called Alford pleas. The plea means that you maintain your innocence, but you believe there is a substantial likelihood that a jury will find you guilty. So you are pleading guilty per this case, State versus Alford. A Seattle attorney and legal analyst told the Huffington Puffing on Past that the effect of the corresponding finding of guilty by the courts is the same as with any straight guilty plea, except these guys go free. After fighting for so many years, Damien Echols, his name is Damien, by the way, Damien Echols, Satan worshiper, murderer, said it wasn't difficult for him to come to the decision to agree to the plea deal. His buddy, fellow murderer Jason Baldwin, said he only took the deal to rescue Echols from death row. He said he didn't want to take the deal from the get-go. However, he said, quote, they are trying to kill Damien. And sometimes you just got to bite the gun to save somebody. This is from the lips of a murdering Satan worshiper. The men have had a long list of celebrity supporters, including the Dixie Chicks, Eddie Vedder, Johnny Depp, and Metallica. Do the Dixie Chicks still qualify as celebrities?
I don't know.
Eddie Vedder?
Who's that?
I don't know, but apparently he's some sort of celebrity. So that's the state of justice, ladies and gentlemen. Enough celebrities get behind you, and you get enough slick lawyers with a little shell game with the DNA, and now we've got three more satanic murderers on the loose, and we'll just keep you posted as to when one of these bastards kills again.
When the children cry, let them know we tried. Cause when the children sing, then the new world begins.
I know I said we were running short of time, but I could not interrupt a Vito Bratta solo. Last report we have, Vito Bratta, Mike Tramp, and all the boys in White Lion are four square against letting satanic murderers out of prison. Much better than a Metallica selection. Disgusting. I'm in shock over this West Memphis 3. I remember this story. Can't say I'm surprised, but I am shocked. All right.
Johnny Depp, I was.
Johnny, you're not surprised at Johnny Depp, huh? No, oh, nor the Dixie Chicks. But Metallica? Oh, well, what are you going to do? I never really dug Metallica anyways. All right, let's move on. Because the state of justice is just so depressing, and it makes you want to just grab a pitchfork and a Bible and a semi-automatic rifle and just head for the hills. But let's go to the science, really, file. This is a story from The Guardian over in London. reducing our emissions might just save humanity from a preemptive alien attack, according to some scientists. Yes. Scientists say that watching from afar, extraterrestrial beings might view changes in Earth's atmosphere as symptomatic of a civilization growing out of control. They may take drastic action to keep us from harming other civilizations. Yeah, from becoming a more serious threat. Now, this highly speculative scenario is one of several described by scientists at NASA. And all you people are all upset that we're disbanding a large segment of NASA. These people obviously have too much time on their hands, sitting around working up scenarios by which we may be destroyed by as yet undetected and undiscovered aliens, but they might be watching us, folks. And the one thing they don't like, they don't like to see us enjoying ourselves. They don't like to see us eating high-calorie foods, using incandescent light bulbs, and releasing CO2 gas into the atmosphere. They don't like it at all. These scientists say that while aliens may arrive to eat, enslave, or attack us, the report adds that people might also suffer from being physically crushed or by contracting diseases carried by the space visitors. In especially unfortunate incidents, humanity could be wiped out when a more advanced civilization accidentally unleashes an unfriendly artificial intelligence or performs a catastrophic physics experiment that renders a portion of the galaxy uninhabitable. To bolster humanity's chances of survival, the researchers call for caution in sending signals into space, and in particular, warn against broadcasting information about our biological makeup, which could be used to manufacture weapons that target humans. Well, I don't think these aliens would have to come up with any new weapons. They could use the weapons we've developed to attack humans. We've done a pretty good job of that. The authors of these scenarios warn that extraterrestrials may be wary of civilizations that expand very rapidly, you know, like capitalists. And as these may be prone to destroy other life as they grow, just as humans have pushed species to extinction here on Earth. That's right, they say green aliens might... green aliens! Well, that's one thing that we can agree on. I've always thought that if there were aliens, that they would be green. But I think they mean green in another sense here. Green aliens might object to the environmental damage humans have caused on Earth and wipe us out to save the planet. Even if we never make contact with extraterrestrials, the report argues that considering the potential scenarios may help plot the future path of human civilization, avoid collapse, and achieve long-term survival, not to mention grants and patronage jobs for them and their nephews and nieces who are now just finishing up college and cannot find jobs. All right. That was from the Science Really file. And we've got another story right here from the Science Really file. From Reuters, astronomers have spotted a new planet that is far denser than any other known so far and consists largely of carbon. And because it's so dense, scientists calculate the carbon must be crystalline. So a large part of this strange world is effectively made of diamond. That's right. Now, that's pretty cool. I don't know that they've actually seen this thing. The article is a bit murky. It may be a bit more theoretical than the folks here at Reuters might let on. They say it's about 4,000 light years away. And they say the planet orbits its star every 2 hours and 10 minutes. And I don't know, I just thought this was really neat. I can't resist this type of headline because I'm into rocks and space and dirt, stuff like that. Strata, like strata, dig them. In fact, I own a Stratocaster. No, but I seriously, folks, I predict that the more we learn about this planet, the more we'll learn about the creation event that occurred approximately 6,000 years ago. And if you want to laugh at me about that, well, go ahead and laugh now. We'll get together on Judgment Day and we'll compare notes. All right. I've often debated with evolutionists. And I've asked for just, what is your evidence? I've found that's the most effective way to debate with an evolutionist, is just ask, okay, what is your best evidence? Because none of them have any clue. From the PhD all the way down to the bass player in your local punk rock band, none of them have any evidence. So it's always fun. All right, now, from the Science Really file, we go to the Bad Religion file. And I don't know if this, I don't know if I'd call this bad religion, but I would call it ridiculous religion, maybe, or just foolish religion. I don't know. But let's start it off. This is from the Seattle Politics, which might be a website, it might be a newspaper, it might be a broadcast from outer space. I don't know. But the Reverend Pat Robinson. Robinson? The Reverend, my father always called Pat Robertson Pat Robinson. My father had a very endearing trait. He always mispronounced the names of people he did not respect. He mispronounced almost all of my friends' names all the time. Oh, by the way, I got to give a shout-out and thank my dad. My dad, back in the 1970s, was a car salesman. And I remember him telling me when I was a teenager that, Douglas, if you ever want to sell a car, it doesn't matter how much of a sow's ear or a lemon it is. He said, crawl under the hood and polish that thing up until everything sparkles. Crawl under the car, inside the car, just clean it up until it sparkles and shines, and park it at an angle so that whoever walks up to it is facing the sun. And so I polished up my Dodge Charger, and I parked it just the way Dad told me to, and I sold it in about an hour and a half. Dad, you are all right. Now, how did I get off on that? Oh, now back to the story here. From Cracked Religion. The Reverend Pat Robin... you see? It's in my DNA. The Reverend Pat Robertson, who once said his prayers turned a hurricane away from Washington, D.C., feels that quake damage to the Washington Monument may carry a message from the Lord. That's right, there's a crack. That was the other big story, the earthquake on the East Coast. That was a big story. There was an earthquake, in case you didn't notice, and... the Washington Monument cracked. So the TV evangelist, Pat Robertson, cited a 4-foot crack in the Washington Monument caused by the 5.8 earthquake back a little ways as a possible sign from the supernatural. He did not discuss greater damage inflicted on the spires of the Washington Cathedral, but that sermon might be coming next week. Pat Robertson said the following, quote, ladies and gentlemen, do I do a Pat Robertson?
I'm not sure.
Ladies and gentlemen, I don't want to get weird on this. So please, take it for what it's worth. But it seems to me the Washington Monument is a symbol of America's power. Now, there's a crack in it, and it's closed up. Is that a sign from the Lord? Is this something that has significance, or is it just a result of an earthquake? You judge. But I just wanted to bring it to your attention, because I am certifiably kooky. I am an embarrassment to the cloth. I should not be in the pulpit. I should be removed, discredited, disgraced, and probably deported out of the country. I made some of that up. That wasn't all him. Let's see. Robertson went on to say, it seems to me symbolic. He said, is it symbolic? You judge. Okay. I thought Pat Robertson in any other discussion would say, don't judge. I mean, that's one of his big things, is don't judge. He's one of the main culprits in perverting the Christian religion into a religion that insists we cannot judge. But he's asking us to judge just on this one right here. Because he doesn't want to come off as a total crackpot. But I think the horse has left the barn on that. It's not the first time, by the way, that Robertson has been heard on Acts of God. A huge storm, Hurricane Gloria, threatened the eastern seaboard back in 1985, and Robertson took to the air on the 700 Club and prayed the following, in the name of Jesus, we command you, hurricane, to stop where you are and move northeast, away from harm. The storm moved, it headed northeast, and scored a direct hit on Long Island, causing millions of dollars worth of damage, but Mr. Robertson's church was unharmed. Just unbelievable. All right. More from the cracked world of religion. From Tallahassee, Florida, from the AP, can Florida thank God and former Governor Charlie Crist that Hurricane Irene shifted away from the state? Well, each year as governor, Crist either personally places or has a friend place prayers in Jerusalem's Western Wall for God to protect Florida from hurricanes, and no major hurricanes hit the state during his tenure as the governor of the formerly great state of Florida. Yeah. Okay. You remember, initial forecasts had the entire state in Irene's path, but it swung east of Florida. You know, folks, this is from the Associated Press. A bunch of just deviant scum, parasites. And liberals at the AP, they loved making fun of God. And by the way, Governor Charlie Crist is a flaming liberal who buddied up with the homosexuals and every other leftist deviant in the last election in attempt to hold on to the governor's seat. Do we remember all that? Do you really think God takes Charlie Crist's prayers seriously over there at the Associated Press? No, you don't, but you love to mock and make fun of God. And so you printed this article. Well, will the leftist news media now blame Crist for the hurricane hitting the population centers in the Northeast and all the flooding? Or will they admit that they were just poking fun at Christians and God and they won't really even follow up on this? That's the most likely outcome. I want to thank the Associated Press for just at least showing us who you are. We know that you hate God and he will pay you back someday if you don't repent. All right. Now, we got more from the bad religion file. This is genuinely bad religion. A housekeeper has accused a Korean Buddhist monk of forcing her to work as a slave in their queen's home. A lawsuit names Su Bok Choi, a Buddhist. Su Bok Choi? Isn't bok choy an Asian vegetable? Anyway, we don't want to imply that this guy has an intelligence level that's lower than anyone else, but he's named after a vegetable. The lawsuit named Su Bok Choi, a Buddhist monk, two of his brothers, his son and a daughter and a niece, all of whose names we cannot pronounce, so we'll move on, and they say that they kept this woman as a slave. I thought Buddhists were all about peace and love, and they were just really good, good people. Keeping a slave in their house. Man, to keep someone against their will in Queens is probably a death penalty offense. Anyway, do we want to move on to the worst religion file? We'll do that. Before the break, I'll get to this Bible verse, okay? All right. This is from that was the bad religion file. This is the worst religion file. From Raleigh, North Carolina, a concert event organized by atheists, agnostics, and other non-theist deviant soldiers has been cleared by the Army to take place next spring at Fort Bragg. The plan is to hold the event on March 31st at the main parade field at Fort Bragg, where the Christian-themed Rock the Fort concert was held some time ago. Famed atheist Richard Dawkins is scheduled to appear along with musicians, speakers, and other entertainment, probably going to have Metallica and the Dixie Chicks and who was it? Not Jeff Beck, right? No, he wasn't involved. Jimmy Page?
No, Jimmy.
I can't remember. There was other musicians. They'll probably all be there, along with Lady Gaga and a host of other deviants. I mean, if you're looking for atheist, agnostic, or otherwise deviant musicians, they're not hard to find. You can't swing a dead cat without hitting a perverted musician, for crying out loud. The organizer, an atheist, says, quote, this might be the turning point in our struggle for acceptance. Okay. Organizers of the festival have raised $50,000 for the event, which will pay for speakers and entertainers. Well, you're not going to get too many atheist deviant musicians for $50,000. I mean, does that even cover Richard Dawkins' speaking fee, for crying out loud? Maybe he'll do it as an act of charity for his fellow atheists as they careen on their way to hell. So anyway, the point here is that this atheist organizing the concert says this just might be the turning point in our struggle for acceptance. Warning, 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 Will Robinson, there are Bible verses up ahead. For those in the audience who advocate pluralism and diversity, we know here at the Weekly Worldview that you would like to censor anyone who would ever even think about possibly consider the possibility of quoting a Bible verse in public, so this warning gives you fair notice that raw, unadulterated truth is about to be uttered. We go to 1 Timothy, the book of 1 Timothy in the first chapter. The Apostle Paul is speaking, and he says the following. Although I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an insolent man, But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord Jesus was exceedingly abundant with faith and love, which are in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance. Speaking of acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. However, for this reason, I obtained mercy, that in me first, Jesus Christ might show all longsuffering as a pattern to those who are going to believe on him for everlasting life. So Paul is the pattern. It's not Metallica or the Dixie Chicks or this rock concert is called Rock Beyond Belief. That's their pattern. Well, I just gave you the pattern, you ignorant heathen scum, you dirtbags. Repent. All right, and on that note, because we are running out of time, we're going to interrupt Geddy Lee and the boys. It's hard to do. All right, go ahead. Let it roll for just a second. Now, there's a good chance that the boys from Rush could be playing that gig, because I think they're flaming on their way to hell. That's a shame, too. We could use a drummer like Neil Peart in heaven. Anyway. All right. Now, on more from the religious, from the religion file. More from the religion file, I said. A Georgia man, this is from The Smoking Gun. A Georgia man who has been pestering a female worker at Taco Bell for a date handcuffed himself to the woman and is facing felony false imprisonment charges. Jason Dean, a 24-year-old Taco Bell worker or customer, we're not sure, handcuffed. They're both workers at Taco Bell. Let's just make that clear. Jason Dean, 24, allegedly handcuffed the 18-year-old woman last week in the parking lot of a Taco Bell. The teenager was freed after other Taco Bell workers convinced Dean to let her go. The victim had reportedly rebuffed Dean's advances over the past month and even had her work shift changed to avoid him. And so now he's going to be processed through the justice system. And, 6 weeks from now, we'll probably read about the fact that he beheaded this girl in the parking lot of Taco Bell or something maybe even worse. Yeah. You know, my pastor always uses an analogy of about law and grace, and about the fact that God is free. God is free, and so are we. And God's not interested in forcing anyone to worship him. He's free, we're free. He's not going to handcuff himself to us and drag us to heaven. He wants us to actually love him. And the first thing you need to do is get to know him. And I would recommend that you read the book of Genesis and then read the book of Galatians. Start with those two, you ignorant, unwashed, filthy, heathen scum. Start with those two books. Now, that's not a very good way to invite someone to get invited to get them to read Scripture.
Well, they might be like, oh, yeah?
Anyway, you're filthy and disgusting. And if you just read, just try to get to know God, because I doubt I can help you. Obviously, I don't have the patience for it. But I do wish, and at other times when I'm in a better mood, and I'm not reading about the crumbling of civilization right before my very eyes, I'm actually nice to heathens. I've been nice to heathens, right? But I've often been confrontational. It may not always be the best route to take. I have to prayerfully consider how to approach each individual heathen, and I'll do more of that. Let's move on to the culture file. PayPal founder Peter Thiel has given $1.25 million to an initiative to create floating libertarian countries in international waters. Yeah, he's been a big backer of the Seasteading Institute, which seeks to build sovereign nations on oil rig-like platforms to occupy waters beyond the reach of the law. The idea is for these countries to start from scratch, free from the laws, regulations, and moral codes of any existing place. They say it'd be a kind of floating petri dish for implementing policies that libertarians have been unable to advance. No welfare, looser building codes, no minimum wage, and no restrictions on weapons. Well, I agree with all of those, for crying out. The part I have a problem with is they want to disconnect from the moral codes of any existing place. I'm sorry, libertarians, you can't do that. You can try, but the spiritual laws that rule and govern our lives are just as hard and fast as the physical laws of the universe, and you can't disconnect yourself from either of those, my libertarian friends. Although I'm all in support of no welfare, looser building codes, no minimum wage, and no restrictions on weapons. In fact, how do I get involved? I'd like to take over one of your oil rigs and reattach it to the moral codes of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and I'll keep your policies of no welfare, looser building codes, no minimum wage, and few restrictions on weapons. The group plans to launch an office park off the San Francisco coast next year with the first full-time settlements following 7 years later. How do you think that'll work out? Let a bunch of Silicon Valley liberals building a libertarian utopia off the coast of San Francisco. The only thing you won't have to import will be the syphilis. All right. More from the politics file. Michigan has removed 30,000 college students from its food stamp program. And that'll save the state about $75 million a year.
What?
Michigan had 10 times the number of students on food stamps than either California or Illinois, and about twice as many as the bureaucrats had thought were on food stamps. Cutting off the students is a part of what the governor says is an effort to change the culture of the state's welfare department. Mr. Governor, you need to dissemble and eliminate the state's welfare department. That way the culture will stop in its tracks. Otherwise, the welfare culture only grows. There's a reason that Jesus called the people sheep. And if you give the sheep a sustenance-level living, many of them, sadly, will be taken in by that, and that will be their life, a pathetic existence on government cheese. Well, 30,000 college students are off the government cheese. Critics say the suffering the cuts will create won't be apparent until after cash-strapped students return to campus this fall. There'll be starving, bloated bellies on the campuses of Michigan's universities, flies on the corners of their eyes, that white paste around the corners of their lips as they drop dead. Unbelievable. Can you believe there was 30,000 college students? I can believe it. All right, more from the higher education file. Elmhurst College, somewhere in the Chicago area, has put a new question on its admissions application. The question is as follows. Would you consider yourself to be a member of the lesbian, gay, bisexual, or transgendered community? The optional question makes Elmhurst the first school in the country to ask applicants about their deviant sexual behavior. I meant sexual orientation or gender identity, whatever that means. Gary Rold, the dean of students at Elmhurst, the chief abuser of young minds at Elmhurst, stressed the question falls in line with the campus's mission, their mission statement to increase diversity and also increasing the college staff's chances of picking up freshman boys. Oh, wait, I made that last part up. Or did I? You judge. A yes answer could put students in line to qualify for a scholarship worth one-third of tuition. Yeah, and penicillin shots. The college also plans to direct students to groups or resources to help them feel more comfortable on campus where they can meet their professors, especially freshman boys. The dean said, quote, "We really try hard to take good care of students. We have them graduate and be successful citizens in the world. Yes, we're going to have a group tonight at my place. All the freshman boys are invited. We want them to be comfortable." All right, more from the culture file. How much more? We're going to go a little long, folks. I hope you can forgive me. I've been off for a couple weeks, and I'm all wound up. This is from the New York Daily News. An online campaign to pressure the producers of Sesame Street into having Bert and Ernie get married is gathering steam online. More than 700 people have signed a petition. 700 people? You say it's gathering steam? I can get 700 signatures on a petition by accident in the parking lot of the local grocery store. Do you think that the liberals tend to hype these stories up a little bit about the queers? It's like claiming that that 10% of us are homosexuals when actually it's like 1% or 2%. Anyway, so 700 people signed an online petition posted at some deviant website. Probably they're all just trying to meet each other. If I sign this petition, maybe I can meet Jeff online. We go on a date. The petition says, reads the following: "We are not asking that Sesame Street do anything crude or disrespectful. You want the Muppets to sodomize each other, but you don't think it's crude at all? They say it can be done in a tasteful way. Let us teach tolerance of those that are different." The producers of the show say Bert and Ernie are best friends. They're not homosexuals. They were created to teach preschoolers that people can be good friends with those who are very different from themselves. You remember? Bert is like the neat freak, and Ernie is the free spirit. Anyway, I watched Sesame Street growing up, I must confess, but I'm not a fan anymore. I'm hoping that the deviants can't bully the producers over at Sesame Street into having Bert and Ernie, let's just not go there. The producers say, even though the Sesame Street Muppets possess many human traits and characteristics, they have no sexual orientation, mostly because they're puppets. And no, they're not available to meet you in a chat room, Jeffrey. Turn off your computer. Go back upstairs. Help your mother clean the kitchen. All right. More here. Oh, now this is not shocking. Columnist Ann Coulter has joined the advisory board of Go Proud, the Republican homosexual activist organization. Coulter said in a statement, quote, "I'm honored to serve in this capacity on Go Proud's advisory council, and I look forward to being the queen of fabulous." As she swallowed in her enormous Adam's apple bobbed up and down. As you know, I've had my suspicions about Anne in the past, and now they've been confirmed. She may not be a homosexual. She may not have ever been a man, okay? Although, that would have to be proven to me through DNA testing. She is obviously a sympathizer with the deviant community. The report said that Go Proud has, quote, caused a stir within the conservative movement, which is grappling with whether to accept an organization that is identified as homosexual. I really don't appreciate him using the word grappling in a story about homosexuals and Ann Coulter. It's just too many ugly mental pictures going on. By the way, this story is from WorldNet Daily, which I recommend you bookmark. WorldNet Daily previously reported when Andrew Breitbart joined the Go Proud board. So, I mean, I've had my suspicions about Andrew and Matt and all of the whole crew. And ever since when I went on the set of... what was that show back in the 90s with that annoying little puke?
Their Bunch, I don't know.
Politically Incorrect with Bill Maher. Politically Incorrect. Okay. I was on the set of that program, and I remember the hairdresser telling me that Bill Maher and Ann Coulter are best buddies, and they go out drinking after she's on the show. And it was that night I began to have my suspicions about Ann Coulter, because anyone who could tolerate Bill Maher's company for more than 30 seconds without getting physically ill, anyone who could actually sit down at a bar and have a drink with Bill Maher, is definitely worthy of suspicion. I can tell you that. And if that is your real name. All right. Finally, from San Francisco. Last week, a San Francisco high school teacher called police to intervene in a dispute with a student who became belligerent and took a fighting stance after he was told to pull up his pants. That's right. Police responded to the call from Lincoln High School. Abraham Lincoln is spinning in his grave. The police responded. Lincoln High, by the way, is the alma mater of Deshaun Marmon, who catapulted to national attention in June when he was kicked off a U.S. Airways flight at San Francisco International Airport for allegedly failing to follow flight crew's instructions to pull up his pants. It's the baggy pants syndrome, ladies and gentlemen. People are finally getting sick of it, and they're finally telling these skinny young punks, look, pull your pants up. And you see, if he didn't comply with me, I wouldn't call the police. I would pull his pants up for him, approximately to his earlobes. I would escort him back into class. Oh, yeah, well, if they're wearing those earlobe stretchers. I hadn't thought about that. It is San Francisco, after all. Now, Marmon, the football player, was arrested but not charged with a crime after not pulling up his pants. He sued the airline, which has failed to apologize, and which allowed another passenger, allegedly a white male, to fly wearing purple lingerie. What? So they kicked off the baggy pants black guy, but they allowed the white queen in purple lingerie to fly out of San Francisco Airport, at which point they said, well, look, it's San Francisco after all. Purple lingerie on a white boy? What's the problem there? He's claiming it was racist because they let a white queen, a white boy, who was wearing purple lingerie, they let him fly. But they kicked the other guy off for having baggy pants.
Yeah, but why how do they know he's wearing lingerie?
How do you know that a white guy is wearing lingerie? You just look, and you're like, wow, that's all he was wearing. He wasn't wearing anything over it. You haven't been to San Francisco lately, have you?
No, what woman do that?
What woman wears lingerie on a plane? That's a good question.
Just like,
only post-op transvestites on flights out of SFO, apparently. Anyway, in this latest incident, San Francisco police took no action as well as is appropriate. They're obviously not qualified to handle a situation that complex. With all those societal implications, I want to thank my friends at KGOV, Denver Bible Church, Personage USA, American Right to Life, and as always, my other brother, Daryl, who makes it all happen. Here at the Weekly Worldview Studios, I'll be back with you next week, Lord willing, and until then, may the grace of God go with you, and may the peace of Jesus Christ be upon you.